this is Dalia Masaki, writing and editing coach for social changemakers, public speaker, and award-winning author of Writing to Make a Difference, 25 Powerful Techniques to Boost Your Community Impact. Welcome to Writing Wednesdays, your opportunity to get essential writing tips and advice on a wide range of documents that you are asked to write. My goal is to help you improve your pieces and better engage your readers. Today's topic is thank you letters. On Writing Wednesdays, we occasionally speak with a special guest, and this is one of those sessions. I'm pleased to introduce our special guest, Paul Jolly. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Excellent. On the blog post that's related to this Writing Wednesdays podcast, you can see a photo of Paul, and I'll just tell you a little bit about Paul Jolly and his background. Paul Jolly has worked as a fundraising professional for over 20 years, zeroing in on gifts from individuals at the top of the giving pyramid. His consulting firm, Jumpstart Growth, focuses on bringing sophisticated major gifts fundraising practices to organizations that are ready for dramatic expansion. His successes include leading three capital campaigns for organizations that are new to major gifts fundraising. He also secured millions of dollars in bequest and planned gift commitments and brought a laser-sharp focus on donors and increased vitality to small development departments. He's a regular contributor to the GuideStar blog and is a popular workshop leader. Paul is also a poet. Welcome again, Paul, and let's just jump right in to today's topic, thank you letters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you are an expert on this topic, and I'm so curious to hear what you have to say. So I guess my first question would be, why does thanking donors play such an important role in major gift cultivation?
I would say that the main reason is that when a donor makes a gift for the first time or makes a larger gift than he or she has made before, that donor is going out on a limb. It's an act of trust. And the thank you process, which begins with the thank you letter, confirms for the donor that this was a wise investment. So it really is kind of closing the loop for the donor to let them know that the gift has arrived, that the gift is starting to do its work to advance the altruistic aspirations of the organization and the donor.
I like that idea of closing the loop. It's part of the cultivation process, and it gives the donor, as you said, a real sense of, okay, well, I have made the gift, they've seen it, and it's ready to roll. What does a thank you letter really accomplish other than closing that loop?
Well, there are several things, and it's important to consider all of them when you're composing a thank you letter. The first is simply to let the donor know that we got the check. The second is to provide the donor what they need for their tax return. And the third is to communicate to the donor that we are not like those take the money and run deadbeats that you may have contributed to before who never acknowledged the gift. And on a more personal level, it communicates we noticed that you sent money to us. We know that there are other things you could have done with that money. Maybe some of them might have been more fun than writing a check to a charity, but we appreciate that you chose that to send that money to us. And finally, it communicates that you are an important member of the team or the tribe or the community that cares about this issue, that you matter, that you belong.
Yeah, definitely. I like that idea of being part of the team that actually gets the job done. So how many times do you think a donor really needs to be thanked? I've heard lots of different opinions about this one.
Well, there are lots of different opinions. And for a while in the fundraising community, the number 7 was floating around as the number of appropriate acknowledgments. I am less concerned about the number than I am about the timeliness that acknowledgement letter needs to go very, very quickly after the gift arrives. Concerned about using the thank you process to draw the donor closer to the organization. So I would say initially you need one letter that is the tax acknowledgement that goes out within 2 days of the gift arriving. And I would say that 5 or 6 months later, after the gift has arrived, if you can communicate with the donor, this is what your gift accomplished for us. That's a very powerful thing because you're beginning the cycle of cultivation that leads to their next consideration of the gift. And if in the interim they hear, let me tell you what that money is doing as we put it to work for the community, that's a very powerful thing. And in between, you know, it's nice to have one or two calls, emails, letters, but I would say those are less significant than the content and the emotion in those letters.
Okay. All right. So you said I think I heard you say within 2 days the first
yes.
one should go out, right?
Yes.
And then
uh-huh.
maybe 6 months later there should be kind of a follow up. Sounds like.
Yes. Yes. The okay. follow up is kind of the equivalent of a report to a foundation that we spent the money, and this is what we did with it. This is what you got for your investment.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that idea. What about when gifts are of different sizes? Do they need to be acknowledged differently, small gifts versus large gifts?
Well, I would say that as much personalization as you can squeeze into those letters is a good idea. And if you can give a personal acknowledgement with a phone call to every donor, I think that's going to have a dramatic impact. And there are organizations that do a very quick turnaround with a mailed letter and a phone call the day that the gift comes in. And those organizations have reported dramatic results. Now, there are organizations that don't have that flexibility or the staff time and the volunteer time to call every donor. In those instances, I would say start at the top and have the president or the executive director acknowledge the gifts at the top of the pyramid, and then a little less personalization as you get to smaller gifts. But keep in mind that a small gift may be a kind of a test from a potential large donor who is trying out a new organization and wants to see how you respond. So you can never assume that a small gift is not significant.
That's a good point. I like the idea. I've never really thought about that a small gift actually might be kind of a test to see how you acknowledge it and how you deal with a gift, and then it may be a precursor to something larger.
Well, if you look at most large gifts that come to most organizations, that large gift follows a steadily increasing number of gifts, maybe starting with $100 or $200, and then every year it's a little more. So every year the donor is trusting you a little more and stepping a little closer into the orbit of that organization. So that I think that indicates that every gift has that potential.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to come of any particular gift, right?
That's
you never
right.
know.
That's right. Yep.
Okay. Great. Well, those are some really good points. And I wondered if we could look at a few samples together and maybe kind of get your take on them.
Yes.
So for our listeners, you'll find on the blog post that's related to this Writing Wednesdays podcast that this particular session, there are 5 sample thank you letters posted. So we'll just go through them and see what Paul thinks. So let's start with the first one from KPFA.
Okay. Thank you for sending me these letters, by the way. I enjoyed reading them and studying them for what the good points are and what the concerns are. That was a fun exercise.
Great.
So the KPFA acknowledgement looks like a business document. The way it's formatted and the typeface make it look like it's an invoice or something. So I would steer towards something more personal than that. But the text, if you read the text, it's very passionate. You know, it talks in two different places about helping the organization be independent of the corporate sponsorship that a lot of news agencies are under. So there's definitely a team spirit. It's kind of a rebel team spirit here, which I think is very powerful. And they're assuming, I think, correctly that is a sentiment that they share with their audience.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And they actually have a donor number toward the top there. So
yes.
That kind of adds to that whole invoice-like style.
Yes, that is invoice-like and impersonal. On the other hand, if you're going to call the organization, you'll get much faster and more helpful engagement if they spell your name wrong or if you're moving and want to give them a new address. If you can give them that donor number, that's a good thing. So I think it's a good idea to put it in there, but I would put it in a less prominent place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good point. All right, let's look at the second one here from Feeding America.
This was a very impersonal letter and full of cliches and statistics, and there's really nothing here that moves me except for the graphics. The graphics kind of compensate for the blandness of the text. So I think that's an interesting thing that by looking in this bottom right corner, you can see the impact of your gift in a very immediate way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I saw it, I thought it was very effective. It kind of gave
yes.
me a good snapshot of what my gift actually did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I agree. It's very powerful.
Yeah.
My other complaint about this letter is there's no phone number on here.
Mm.
And anytime I'm communicating with an organization and they don't give me a phone number, I think they don't want to talk to me.
Okay.
So good. Yeah, I think the phone number is important.
Okay. Excellent. All right, so let's move on to the third one, the Jewish Voice for Peace.
Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of excitement here. In the first paragraph, it talks about your gift helping us past our $100,000 matching campaign goal. So that is very exciting. And there's also an infusion of the mission of the organization throughout this letter. And it talks about the work that will be facilitated by this gift. So I think this is very good.
Okay. When I read it, it gave me a lot of information, and
mm-hmm.
I wondered if it was a little bit too much. What do you think?
That could be. Communication with the donor is always a balance of talking about you, the donor, as a hero of this organization, and talking about the beneficiaries. And the organization is kind of the transparent or porous membrane in between. So I think if I understand what you're saying is that this tilts too much towards the mission and not enough towards the heroism of the donor. And I think that's a legitimate critique.
Okay. Well, yeah, its second paragraph specifically seemed a little bit hard for me to kind of skim. And
yes.
As a donor, I really skim my thank you letters.
Uh-huh.
You know. So,
and as a writing teacher, you notice when a sentence is five lines long.
Right.
Yes,
good point. Yeah. I did like at the end there, they're going to keep in touch with me. So
mm-hmm.
if I do want more information, I can just kind of look out for that or go to their website
yes.
or whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's look at the next one from Amnesty International.
Now, this one is also mission-focused, In a way that none of the other letters are. The paragraph that begins, "Last year alone, your support helped us win freedom for many prisoners of conscience." And then it talks about an example about one particular prisoner who was released and vowed to continue to struggle for human rights. So I think that zeroing in on a personal story of the beneficiary is a very powerful thing.
Yeah, I would agree. I really liked having a sense of what has been done before and that my gift is actually going to be part of that for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
Great. And let's look at this. Yeah, let's look at this final one from the Rose Foundation.
Well, this is a very personal letter. And I couldn't tell in reading it if it was addressed individually to you or if this was a mass-produced letter to all the people who attended that event. But it's got the handwritten note at the bottom from the executive director with a handwritten thank you to you. So I just thought this was very warm and very pleasant. And this last paragraph saying, "Let's write the story of the next 20 years together," that is exactly the sentiment that you want to communicate to your donors. So I thought this did a very good job of knitting together the donor and the organization.
Great.
Also,
yeah.
I thought having the tax ID number here, I think that's a nice touch too, if for donors that want to look on GuideStore and learn more about the organization. It's just nice to have it that easily accessible.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I would agree with you. I always look for the handwritten part of a thank you letter at the end. I like that part.
That's, yes.
I think most donors like that.
Yes.
Great. All right. I know that you have a special offer that you are offering the Writing Wednesdays folks. So do you
yes.
want to go ahead and describe it?
Sure. There's two articles that I've written that I think might be helpful. One is specifically about acknowledging gifts and talks about the guidelines for a 5-star acknowledgement system. The other is an outline of the whole donor cultivation sequence, from having a name on a list through those initial smaller gifts, cultivation, solicitation of a large gift, and eventually the thank you, which is the most important. So I'm happy to share both of those articles with people who send me an email at paul@jumpstartgrowth.com.
Great. Your email address is on that blog post that's related to today's Writing Wednesday session, Paul.
Okay, good.
Great. I just want to reiterate thanks again to today's special guest, Paul Jolly of Jumpstart Growth.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And for our listeners, please feel free to continue this conversation with Paul by adding a comment to the blog entry for this session of Writing Wednesdays. And if you leave a question or comment for him, I'll be happy to pass it along to Paul.
And I will be sure to respond.
Okay. Meanwhile, please let me know what you would like to hear on future Writing Wednesdays. You can find a link on the right-hand column of the website to add your thoughts and just look for the survey. Thanks again for joining me, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Happy writing, and goodbye for now.